Jonah, the Old Testament book and story of a prophet and a man by the name of Jonah. Today's message is for anyone who has ever made a mess out of their life. Now, if you're here this morning and that's not necessarily your life, but you know someone who has and it's their life, can I have an amen? Amen. So it's for every person who has ever made a mess out of their life, run from the Lord, and then not known what to do, or in this instance, in this series, not known what to pray. So as you're turning to Jonah chapter 2, we're turning to his mess and not yours. Now we want to bring to your attention the first part of next year. We're going to do a revised vision of the Word of God, and we're going to go in and we're going to splice in your story in view of some of these stories. So we're going to take a few stories out, put your story with your name first and last, your address in there, and we think that would make a much better read for the congregation. I just want to ask, how many of you think you would read this word more if you knew the lives that were going on and being lived out? Wouldn't that be exciting? We'll put Pastor Clint's story in there before Christ, a little BC there. Learn a little bit more about Pastor Clint. You're turning to Jonah chapter 2. How many Texan fans do we have today in the house that are rooting against the Cowboys? Let's see your hands. Now, how many prayed through, filled with the Holy Spirit Cowboy fans do we have that are God's team praying the other way? Today will be a type of civil war. Aren't we glad that today we're not coming in the name of Cowboys or Texans, but in the name of the Lord? Because the Lord can bring us together around those things that we just agree to disagree. Some of us are rooting for the Texans and falling short of the glory of God. Others of us... kind of a rough crowd this morning. Would you keep the lights completely on this morning? I need to see the white in their eyes. This morning, before we read God's Word, I'm going to ask if you would please stand to your feet. As we are standing to our feet, we are respecting and we are reverencing God's Word. And we're also paying some respect to a guy by the name of Jonah. Now, for those of you that are here this morning and you need the cliff notes before we read God's Word, let me tell you just a little bit about this story. This is a story about a man. His name is not Jed. His name is Jonah. Now, Jonah has a call from God. He has a calling to be a prophet. And from time to time, God calls not just prophets, but people to do things that make them uncomfortable. And in this particular situation, he sought comfort instead of obedience. And we find that God speaks to him and gives to him a word of the Lord. And he decides that he doesn't like what God is saying. So the scripture says in Jonah chapter 1 that he takes off running from the Lord. It says that he doesn't want to go preach a certain message to a certain city. And so scripture says that he ran away from the Lord, that he fled the presence of the Lord, and that he literally ran away from what God was saying. That's called disobedience. That's called sin. And I think for every person in here, we can relate to the fact that God has given to us something hard to do. And then in not doing it, we ran from it. And so he's running from the Lord, he's running from obedience, and he's just miserable. Can you say miserable three times like you've been miserable before? I want to talk to the guys for just a moment. How many of you have a honey-do list at home? Written or unwritten? And you know that that is a type and a shadow of a word from the Lord. And that when you run from that and say you run to ESPN or SportsCenter or Fox Sports Network, there's a certain chilly feeling in the house. You're running from that thing that is being asked of you, and so it creates a gap. Well, this guy has to deal with the gap. And so he thinks because in his life he has disobeyed, he thinks that because it's personal and nobody really knows about it except him and God, that it's not going to have an effect on anybody. And yet in this story we find that the very place he runs is filled with people. And in that place, they find themselves out at sea in a boat. And he's not the only one miserable, but he's making everybody else in that ship miserable with him. It says in Scripture, it records that there's a storm. And the storm comes up on the sea. And so everybody's in this storm that's been caused by someone's disobedience. We join the story already in progress. And we find that they're trying to figure out in this storm who is responsible for the waves that we see and the wind that we feel. Why have we got in the middle of where we're going and all hell itself is broken loose? They cast lots and they find out it's Jonah, and they find out that it's Jonah's disobedience. In verse 17 of chapter 1, that the Lord provides for them direction through the disobedient life, and this disobedient guy by the name of Jonah says, hey, look, if you will throw me overboard, then that will be the sacrifice to the Lord that will calm your sea. And notice in verse 17 that even after they've thrown Jonah overboard, God still provides for this disobedient servant. It says in verse 17 that the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish, not one, not two, but how many days and nights? 3 days and three nights. And our scripture says, according to Jonah chapter 2 and verse 1, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed. If you've ever wondered what to do when you've made a mess out of your life and you're busy running from the Lord, learn from Jonah. Pray to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we have decided to pray. We've decided to stop running, and we've decided to pray. And God, today we ask that you would give to us the obedient heart and the courageous heart in the middle of our mess to just pray. And Lord, today we ask that in our distress, in our disobedience, that you would hear our prayer and that you would bring peace to the boat we're in and peace to the place that we live in. That God, our life would become a blessing to those around us and not a curse. We thank you for your word, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the subject of prayer and the difference that it makes in our life, and how it's through prayer that God gives us the ability to overcome even the most insurmountable odds. We've taken a look at two different lives so far. We've looked at a king by the name of Hezekiah. He too got a word from the Lord, and the word from the Lord said to this king, look, your days are numbered. Your days are over. Get your house in order, because the sickness that you currently possess is something that's going to put you 6 feet under. You will not recover from. And in this particular story, we find that the king then turns his life back to God, turns his life over to God. He turns over a new leaf, and he begins to pray. Prayer does something powerful. Because in 3 days' time, we find that God grants to him, in his death sentence, a new sentence to live, and he lives an additional 15 years. Now, last week, we looked at another king. His name is Jesus. On the night before he was about to be betrayed, he sits down with his disciples, and he begins to serve to them communion. Each of us last week were able to take care of the sin in our life because of what he took care of that day and that moment, as he began to show to us the power of prayer and how prayer begins to put the Lord in our life and in our situations, and he turns it all around with his ability to do the impossible. And so we find in these last moments of his life that he sits with those he loves most, and he breaks the communion bread, and he begins to share with us and show each of us how when we allow the Lord to be broken in our life, and we allow the Lord to bring brokenness through repentance in our life, that as we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness, and live the life of an overcomer. Now, how many of you like that life of an overcomer? Or at least you like the overcoming stage where you finally break through the tape and you cross the finish line and they give you the trophy for overcoming. It's all of the part leading up to that moment that sometimes is difficult. And that's where Christ is trying to show us that he is that place, not just in the beginning and the ending, but he's everything in between that holds us together and comforts us and strengthens us even when we walk through difficult places of our life. So that you and I in the difficult places don't make a mess out of our life, but begin to live out the message of Christ for our lives. Now, those are two individuals that we looked at in recent weeks, and this morning we want to look at a third person. And in each of these lives, we're looking at the effect of prayer in our life. I'm absolutely convinced that many of us know we should pray, and we could pray. And that if the circumstances would just get a little easier, then we would pray. I'm a little sleepy this morning, and I could pray, but the question isn't, could you pray? It is, will you pray? So instead of starting my day with prayer, I'm going to start my day with coffee. And from coffee, I'll go to a kolache. And then from a kolache, I'll go to traffic. And from traffic, I'll go back into the office and start the routine again. More coffee with more kolache. And so what we find in our life is that often, prayer is the last thing we get around to. And so while we're at work during the day, we say a lot of little miniature prayers, little Burger King prayers. Oh, God, just help me with this person before I kill him. In Jesus' name, amen. Their mama might have brought them into the world. I'm fixing to take them out. And we spend a lot of our lives living out our lives in a prayerful sense, but not the kind of powerful sense that God intended for prayer. We're praying for God to just give us relief when God is wanting to give us release and give us victory. And we're praying for little bitty things just to get through the day so that the day doesn't live us. And yet for most of us, the day lives us and we don't live the day. And therefore, we don't live in an overcoming, conquering, joyous faith because we spend all of our time relegating God to these little bitty battles that God says, you know what? The battle is the Lord. And if you'll back up and start your day in my presence, you'll have my presence and my power for your whole day. And do you know many times when you start your day in prayer, there are certain battles you'll never see. And so a lot of times what we find is we do something and then we say, God bless it. Then we do something else. God bless this. And little by little by little, we become like Jonah. Little by little by little, we get away from what God is saying. Hey, look, this is what's going to make for you a great life. This is what's going to make for you a great marriage. This is what's going to be really great for your family. This is going to be really great for your finances. And so he gives us a word of sorts. And rather than obey the word and really go to the Lord in prayer and pray that word through and then persevere until it comes to pass, we little by little just get a little bit further away from God and what he's saying for our lives. And we keep praying all these kinds of prayers that are based on what's comfortable to us. Oh, Lord, I don't want to, like Jonah. I don't want to go here. I don't want to do that. I want to do this. I want to go here. And yet God's word says, don't go there. And yet we get here and we're like, oh, Lord, just bless me, bless me, bless me. Oh, Lord, breakthrough. Oh, Lord, breakthrough. Lord, I'm going to plant a seed right here. I'm going to sow $1,000 seed. Man, it got quiet. And yet the Lord is saying, you know what? I'm not as concerned about the $1,000 seed that you are wanting to plant here as I am concerned about way over here when I gave you a word that I wanted you to be obedient to. I want you to come back to living out obedience here. And friend, that's what prayer does. Prayer will always bring us back to the word of the Lord. It will always bring us back to the will of the Lord, and it will always teach us the ways of the Lord. You see, sometimes God will order for your life something that you would not order for yourself. He will ask a difficult thing of you. And not just ask, but he will command a difficult thing of you. And it's in that difficult thing that God knows something on the other side of that difficulty that's going to bring to you great delight. And yet sometimes we want to cash in the difficulty and just get right to the delight. It's a little bit like not wanting to eat lunch so you can get right to dessert. And sometimes in our faith, we're guilty of that. And if we're not careful, over a period of time, we'll just have an appetite for the delight of the Lord and not the disciplines of the Lord. As it continues to get a little bit more quiet in the room today, I continue to tell you the things you need to hear and not necessarily what you want to hear. I think in every trial, you and I have to stop and say, now, wait a minute, what do I know that the Lord has already told me? What is it that the Lord has already asked of me that quite possibly I'm not doing? Jonah had to stop everything in the middle of a storm and he had to ask himself that question. We are in this mess because of me. I have bound Satan. I have rebuked Satan. I have gone to the prophetic conference. I have sown my seed and the trial has only gotten worse. And I can't seem to make God budge. I made this decision and I can't believe God is not blessing me. What's wrong with God? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with God. It's that church I've been going to. That's what's wrong with God. And I'm not being blessed in that church. It just seems like ever since I stepped in that church, it seems like all storm has broken loose in my life. That's the thanks I get for getting back in church. It couldn't possibly be that God is trying to temper me and teach me the character of God here. It must be the lack of that church's ability to preach the gospel. And all the while it sounds good to us, but not so good to God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, not so much. And God is just looking at us, and here we are. We're like a little red ant. We're right in the middle of the very trial we created with our disobedient choice. And we are right there, and we are no better than the kids in the nursery when they throw themselves to the floor when they don't get their way and throw a temper tantrum. You have never seen a temper tantrum until you've seen an adult throw one in your church. I mean, you've seen them in the store. They're not your kids, they're someone else's. But you've seen them not get their way and then fling themselves down in the Walmart of life and wah, wah, and they look like they're a ninja. And everything's going north, south, east, and west. And that's scary to us. And we look at children and we're just like, my, 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 my. Someday when I'm a parent, I will never let my children act that way. How many of you have ever been there and said that? And you're right, you grew up, you had kids, and your kids are not at all like that. They're twice as bad. You would be happy for the thing you judged yesterday to happen. You'd call that a good kid. So you got to see yourself in this story. You got to see that God will ask an uncomfortable thing of you, and it will make things for you uncomfortable and inconvenient. God does not do these surveys. He does not call ahead and ask, would this be a good time for you to do an uncomfortable thing? Would this be a good time to go, oh, say, through a test or a trial? Now, it's one thing when God orders a test and a trial, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about someone who said, God, I'm going to take my choices into my own hands. I'm going to live life the way I want to. Now you bless it. And now he's in a mess. And now he's waited for a while. He's waited. Notice, he goes and lays down and goes to sleep. Scripture in Jonah, chapter 1 says, he's in a great sleep. How many of you slept right through the hurricanes that hit Texas a couple weeks, months, years ago? I'll get it eventually. I have run into people. In fact, I was preaching a men's retreat not long ago, and they lived in the Beaumont area. And these guys were telling me about their different experiences in the storm, and one guy walks up and he's like, yep, I remember that hurricane. I just slept through the whole thing. And I look at him and I was like, wow, must have been a pretty deep sleep. Yeah, my wife couldn't wake me for nothing. She'd be screaming from the other room, honey, I think a tree just fell on the house. I slept right through it, didn't hear a thing. Honey, we've lost the electricity. I didn't need electricity. I was asleep. My kids were crying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Never heard them. I slept through the night, woke up the next morning and wondered what all the fuss was over. Have you ever met somebody that's clueless in their trial? And you're working harder on their faith and obedience than they are? Sometimes as your pastor, I want to look at you and say, girlfriend, I'm working harder on your marriage than you are. You need to go get a refund for that man you married. That's just a joke. Some of you are like, oh, rat. We've got to learn to be obedient. And all the praying in the world, all the fasting in the world, all the sowing of seed in the world does not replace what God asks of each of us. And that is simply obedience. Scripture says that everybody else in the house, everyone else affected by the disobedient child, the backslidden husband, had to go wake him and tell him how do we fix this? Friend, I'm talking to somebody this morning. You're that Jonah. And you've kind of taken your life in your own hands. And you just kind of do your thing because it feels good to you. You're kind of in church, like you're kind of in the marriage. you kind of in the marriage, like, oh, I feel a tension breaking out in here right now. You kind of live for God, but you kind of live it according to your rules. You kind of come to church, but you kind of walk through church and you're an Olympic judge. This is too long. This is too loud. This is too short. This is too much. This is not enough. And you're like Jonah. You've gone to sleep and you have convinced yourself that your disobedience isn't affecting anyone. Meanwhile, the wife sits back and nightly cries herself to sleep, praying, oh, that Jonah that I'm married to would wake up. Oh, that he would come back to God. Oh, that he'd come back to me. Oh, that he'd come back to the children. I think Jesse Duplantis looks at crowds and says, don't shout me down while I'm preaching good. Thank you, Jesse. Oh, I think I just heard him say that again. Don't shout me down while I'm... It's a little different now, isn't it? Because now it's a little bit personal. But prayer is personal. And some of you have a silent, screaming prayer for that person in your house that's away from God, that their disobedience is making a mess at everything. We now take a station identification break for our young people. Boop. Do you know... I need to talk to you for a second. Do you know, Sunshine, the world don't revolve around you? I know that's a shock to some of you. Do you know what? You didn't vote your mom and daddy in. You can't vote them out. But that hadn't kept some of you from trying to pout them out. Do you know God holds you responsible for you? Turn around and tell each other about three of you. You, you, you. Thank you. I appreciate your energy there. He threw me the deuce. Okay. So what I'm talking about is that some of you, you just want to live like Jonah. You just want to be a heathen. You don't want to obey God's word. You want your way. You're not a burger or a king, but you want your way. And you go home and you let out a pout. Why don't I have a new Porsche? Why do I not have a new SUV? Why? I'm only 12 years old. Why can't I car date now? Why do I have to go to bed before midnight? Why? Why can't I have a MySpace.com? Why can't I stay up all night and go to school on 1 hour sleep? Why can't I go date Mr. Wrong and turn him into Mr. Right? You can trust me. Am I helping a mom or dad this morning? Oh, yeah. I'm feeling a little lonely up here right now. Why can't I go out and drink? Jesus drank. Why can't I wear underwear to school? It's the culture. I mean outside. Oh, wow. You know what I mean? It's not in what I say, it's in what you hear. Thank you, I will. Thank you, Rev. Underwear was never supposed to be a substitute for clothes. They were supposed to be undergarments, not over the garments. There is nothing sexy about cellulite and belly buttons. You don't have to show them. Hey, thank you, fellas. Yeah. Jesus went to the cross and he was pierced with nails. He did it for you. You don't have to put one in your ear, your tongue, your belly button, your toe. You don't have to do that. But you can become a Jonah to your house. And you can say, but I'm called by God. Someday I'm going to be in ministry. Well, how about someday turning in today? How about today being the day that you stand up, dress right, act right, speak right, pray right, and live for God's word today? How about a little old, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, I will be obedient. How about a little bit of that? How about a little thank you once in a while? Oh, thank you for the roof over my head today. Thank you that I'm not living in a cardboard box.
I can't believe I only have 6 pair of tennis shoes.
And you're just throwing all this attitude everywhere, acting like it doesn't affect you. Do you realize that God holds you equally responsible for the peace and the harmony and the spirit of the Lord in your home? Now, Jonah, he was trying to blame his disobedience on everybody else. He's sleeping. While he's sleeping, their lives are going through hell. God holds you responsible for your choices and decisions. And so to conclude my service, we're going to conclude in prayer. How many of you think I said more in that last 5 minutes than I have in 10 years? Do you understand that we as parents don't want you to mess up your life so that you'll wake up one day and say, that was not good. Yeah. I'm going to stop there. Till next week. So see, we're talking about people making a mess out of their lives. And you know what? God is saying you don't have to make a mess out of your life to have a life. You don't have to push the boundaries. Obedience and what God says has a purpose and a reason. And that purpose and that reason is so that you and I will enjoy our lives and have a life. Not just get married, but have a marriage. And not every night sleep with the enemy. Now, I've been told by other people that's been married. Jonah chapter 2 says, from inside the mess, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. Now, there's a thought. But it's usually the last thought we have, not the first thought. Notice this. He was inside the fish for how many days and nights? That's a long time to be inside a fish. Am I right? I mean, think about that for a minute. Well, we've been here for 3 days now. We're not dead yet. We've eaten all the sushi we can. Maybe we should pray now. Our time at Benihana is over. We leave now. We come, we have fried rice, we have hot tea, we have green tea ice cream, and then we go. I mean, think about this. How long have you been in your mess? How long do you have to stay in your mess? How long do you have to stay messed up? Not long. If you pray. But the key word there is, if you pray. So Jonah, when all else failed, from inside the fish, he prayed to the Lord. And here's what he said. I want you to have a place in your Bible that you can mark so you'll know what to pray next time you're inside a fishy mess. In my distress, I called to the Lord. And he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep. And to the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Do you see? Just like King Hezekiah, he turns his life back to God. He turns his ways back over to God. A lot of times we'll come to church, but we'll still hold on to our ways. Now, growing up, I can remember often hearing this. See if this sounds familiar to you. I would hear people say, you're going to go to hell if you don't change your ways. Do you know you're going to go through a lot of hell and a lot of mess and spend a lot of days inside the fish if you don't change your ways? And I think there's some this morning that you need to give your heart and your life back to God. Perhaps for the very first time, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and make Him your Lord and Savior. But for every person that is in that position, I bet there's 10, 15 people who you're here today and you've given your heart to the Lord. You just haven't given your ways Some of you are like feeling like you were in Family Feud. Ways. Thoughts. Notice he prays and he says, the engulfing waters threatened me and deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath bared me in forever. But you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. What an awesome prayer. And then notice how quickly God answers. And the Lord commanded the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah into dry land. Answered prayer doesn't always look nice and clean. I don't think Jonah looked like much when the fish coughed him up. But I would rather not look like much and be obedient to the Lord than look like much and be disobedient. I just think we need to pray this morning. I think we've got folks this morning that need to turn their ways over to the Lord. What I have found when we hold on to our ways is we get very selfish. And we start blaming our ways on everyone else. And we start like maybe playing, let's make a deal. We start thinking, well, if my wife just gave me more of this, if my wife just did more of this, if my husband just gave me more of this, then I would change my ways. And yet what we find is that God never gives us options as to the ways that we're to live our life, but He gives us commands and scriptures to the ways that we're to live our life. And I just believe that God wants to bless you, but God is not obligated to bless your disobedient ways. So friend, we come back to the fact that there are those today that need to give their hearts to the Lord. And in just a minute, we're going to stand as a congregation and we're going to pray. And you're going to be able to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want to give my heart to the Lord. In that same moment, there are some of you that are going to raise your hand and you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to give my ways to the Lord. I've just been messing up big time. And I feel like I'm living in a fish. I feel miserable and my life's a mess. And I've been running from God. I was afraid what God asked of me. He asked me to be a good Christian. And I felt like that would take all the fun out of my life. I felt like if I gave my life over to the Lord, it would ruin life for me. And so I've been on the run. And now you've found that your ways and your run is ruining parts of your life. You're finding that the things that God gave you in your life, you can't even relax and enjoy because you know this morning God gave them to you and you've been disobedient with them. And so in just a moment, you're going to be the person that just raises your hand and without a lot of fanfare, you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to give my ways back to the Lord. Now, before we get there, it's easy for us to think about other people's ways. You know, being a young person, it's kind of bad because sometimes we take the rap because a lot of our ways are lived out in front of everyone. Have you noticed that? Well, you're listening to the wrong music, you're on the wrong website, you're wearing the wrong clothes, and I don't dispute any of that. But your ways, many times, as a young person, are much more visible. As you get older, not old, but a little older, we're able to hide things a little better. We hide things like, lying, gossip, murmuring, strife, unforgiveness, anger, bitterness. If you, in the middle of your fishy mess, was able to light a candle or a lighter, you would look around and see many of the adults in this room in that same fish. Different reason, different ways, but equally in a mess. And so today it's time for you and I to pray. And I'd like to ask everybody to stand to your feet and we're going to pray. Remember in this series we were going to talk not just about prayer, but we were also going to walk out prayer and we were going to pray. And so with us standing now to our feet, we've repositioned ourselves. And I want every person to just close their eyes and make where they're standing an altar. And as you're standing there, I want you, I want you to begin to surrender your life. Perhaps it's for the very first time, and you're going to give your heart and your life to the Lord, and He's going to give His heart and life to you. Or perhaps today, you're going to surrender and give to the Lord your ways. Even now, the Holy Spirit is pointing out certain ideas, certain ways, certain thoughts, certain ways of living life. It's just wrong. That's what you're going to give to the Lord. That's what you're going to surrender. And when you give your ways back to the Lord, He's going to put His ways into you. And when He puts His ways into you and you start to live them out, then you can't help but be blessed. Some of us are putting bad choices, poor choices, in the hand of God this morning. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, you're standing here and you're praying. You're asking the Lord to forgive you. All through the house, everyone is asking God to forgive them. Forgive them for their sin and forgive them of their ways. Some of you are going all about it the wrong way. You want the right things for your life. You're just going about it the wrong way. You're here this morning, and with a raised hand, you're turning your ways back to the Lord. I want you just to quickly raise your hand and put it right back down. You're saying, like Jonah, I'm in a mess, and I've created it with my ways. Just put your hand up and put it right back down. That's awesome. That takes courage. Raise your hand. You're just saying, I'm giving my ways back to the Lord. In this simple little story of Jonah who was saved from a well, I need to be saved from the mess my ways have created. And Pastor, I'm just raising my hand. I'm going public with my faith. And today I'm going to confess the sin of my ways. And then I'm going to find my way. And God can bless what I'm doing. Hands are going up all over the building. You're just asking God to forgive you for your ways. Yes, ma'am. I see you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I think homes and marriages and lives are changing because some of you are beginning to realize I've been going about wanting the right thing the wrong way. And I've been asking God to bless my disobedience, and that's just not the way it works. I've been making all these choices without God, and then I'm asking God to bless my choices, and that just doesn't work. And I've been running from the Lord, and today I'm just going to raise my hand and surrender my ways. That's a sign of commitment, dedication. You're standing this morning, and you've never given your heart to the Lord before, but you're like Jonah. You've run from the Lord, and maybe until this morning didn't even realize that you were running. But this morning you want to start running to Jonah. Not to just Jonah, but to Jesus. You want to run in the direction that God has for your life by giving your life to the Lord. I want you quickly to put your hand up and put it right back down. And with that hand you're saying, I want to give my heart to the Lord. I want to make Him my Lord and my Savior. I see hands are going up. People are giving their lives to the Lord this morning. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Can I talk to the men in the church this morning for just a second? Ladies, you can listen in. I just want to share from my own journey to spiritual maturity. And from that, I want to talk to you about the fact that I used to come to church, and church was a hopeless place for me as a man. Because I used to think that it would take some incredible feeling for me to change my ways. And most of the feelings that I had was just condemnation and shame and guilt. And I just almost came to church hopeless as a man, thinking, you know, how is this really going to help me? I know what I'm doing wrong, but how do I find my way to what is right? Somewhere in all of that, I had this feeling or this idea that just confessing my sin was not enough, that turning from my ways was not enough. I don't know, maybe it was just me, but I just thought that, man, I got to do something really, really public and loud, and I got to feel all this in order to be forgiven and change my ways. So as a man, a lot of times I'd walk out of the church knowing I needed to change my ways, but because I didn't have that feeling, because I didn't have that big emotional moment, I left doubting that God had done anything. And so for years I continued to run until I realized that God is much bigger than any storm I feel or face. That it is God's way to forgive me. It is God's will to help me. It's God's desire to forgive me of my sins and to purify me of all unrighteousness. And that maybe I didn't have to feel for God to do. That God could go beyond what I felt and what I didn't feel to do what only He could do, and that is to forgive me. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, I finished my talk with the men. You don't have to go looking for something outwardly loud and public and emotional, though that can happen. But you don't have to have all of that for it to still completely be God's power and ability to change your life. And so in the power of a prayer, each of us are going to pray from what we learned about Jonah. Dear Lord, in my mess and in my distress, in prayer I turn to you. Forgive me. Forgive me for my ways, my choices, my attitudes, and my behaviors. Save me from this mess that has overwhelmed me, swallowed me, and seeks to destroy me. Help me, Lord, have the strength and the courage to leave this place today and just be obedient. Put my life back together again. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, friend, I think God did something really powerful in this room this morning because of what He can do. Not because of what we can do, but because of what He can do. And do you know, friend, this morning, He can fix your mess. And He can turn it into your message. He can take you from what you've called a test, and it can become your testimony. In this remaining moment, I want you to just speak that God has done something powerful in your life. You don't have to be loud, but I want you to hear in your ears that God delivered you from your mess. He just delivered you from your mess. I've been delivered. My spouse is not even going to recognize me today when I go home. They'll know me by the smell, but they won't recognize me. Because I'm out of the fish, and I'm ready for my future. Would you just put your hands together and celebrate the Lord? Go ahead. Something may smell fishy, but God can change everything in a moment with prayer. Because prayer changes insurmountable odds. Oh, you're clapping like you didn't need nothing changed. You may not have had much to cheer about in the belly of the whale, but you're out now and better days are ahead. And your world is going to be a better place. Now, I just want to just bless you as you go. And my wife and I really want to meet each and every one of you. And I know our cafe will not hold all of us at once. But you know what? If we've never met you before, there's many faces I see. And I see you week after week after week. I'd like for you to come back. And if you haven't shook my hand in a while, if you haven't come and ever introduced yourself to me and my wife, can I tell you this is your personal invitation? We would really like to know the folks that call Dominion Church home. We'll give you a candy bar if you'll come back. I'm not telling you what kind of condition it's going to be in when you get it, but we'll give you one. We bless you this morning and we remind you that because of Him in us, the world is a better place. Good night and God bless you.
Something. I can't remember what she said. You might talk to her about it, but we're going to get you some words.